time for you to wake up. The dream is either beginning or it's ending. And it's not me to tell you what's going on. It's for you, to use your magnificent information processor, your mind, what is in your head, to determine how you are going to use your intent to manifest what is about to change our world. Good day, everyone. This is Patricia Cleveland, your host of Esologic Radio. I'm not here to really tell you what to do, but I'd like to spark your thoughts. I'd like to give you something to consider that might actually add to the way you perceive life or maybe how you're dealing with things going on in your world. I work with animals. I work with energy. I work with very little material assets or resources to do my job. I work with the energy that is found in the cellular membrane of everything that lives. And using that information and a very, very delicate skill of putting impulse waves through the physical form, I'm able to trigger the release of the idea of the original intended blueprint of the physical body. But these days, there seems to be this challenge going on. When I first started my research, you know, I met these vets, and they're wonderful people. They want to be healers. They're great people because they have this amazing use of their mind. The left side of the brain is the linear part, and that's the part that analyzes and processes, and it tells us, you know, oh, that might be a good idea, or it might not. That left side of the brain sets the boundaries for our judgment, for the type of knowledge that is implanted, imprinted, and is then put out into our societies, into our education systems, into our political systems. It is the thing that helps to shape our belief. And then, you see, when you're a left-brain person, you tend to fit into the type of education that goes into math and science because it's linear thought. And in veterinary medicine, there's a lot of linear thinkers out there. But in veterinary medicine, there's also people who work more from the right side of their brain, the creative side, the side that recognizes that we are energetic beings in a physical form. And somewhere in our head, whether it's the left brain or the right brain, our body is organized into layers of knowledgeable cells, whether it's in the brain, the heart, the digestive system. All these units come together and they make us in a physical form. And what's happening right now is there's a division, another set of duality. And what I'd like to do today is talk about this and see if there's another way of understanding or perceiving how we interact. You see, right now, there's this struggle between people who are linear thinkers and left brain and have the intent of helping using their knowledge. And there's another division or duality that's occurring with the people who are right-brained and energy-based and abstract, thinking on spirals. And that spiral thinking gives us exposure to, oh, about 10 times more information than if we thought in a straight line. And this division in science, and in the science that's responsible for looking after our animals, is really becoming disturbing. You see, a long time ago, I sat in classrooms at Cornell University, and I listened to very, very brilliant men talk about, oh, the chemical reaction, the physical breakdown of the body. And being the person that I am, I'm rather right-brained in my perceptions. I put my hand up one day, and I asked the professor, I said, you're talking about a horse who steps on a nail, and that nail is going to set up an infection in the foot. And then you tell us that this infection is going to go through and eat the bone and create a really bad problem for the animal. And sir, have you ever thought about if you changed the electrical impulse around the wound in that animal's foot, if it would actually have a change in the body's ability to fight off the infection and therefore save the life of the animal? And at that moment, in a school of linear thinkers, all eyes turned on me. And at that moment, I became the bastard child. And it's very interesting, this bastard child has moved through some pretty dynamic circles. I have moved through the schools of abstract thought. I have worked in the natural world, and my teachers have not been the voices of men. And very seldom does my knowledge come from a book. And it doesn't mean to say that my science isn't true, because truth is what you experience. And when you are a right-brained thinker, your experience is going to be different than a left-brained thinker. And it's not that one is better than the other. What I would like to suggest is it's time that we use the assets, the benefits of both. You see, the linear thinker has the ability to organize, to identify, to judge. And the right brain thinker has the ability to use their intent. And without intent, nothing in the natural world will take a natural flow, a natural rhythm. And so if you could merge the straight line thinking of organization, of judgment, of taking what we know from the past and projecting it into the future, and swirl it together, maybe put it in the middle of the spiral, running right down the middle like a spring. Maybe we could merge these two processes, bring the left side of the brain and the right side of the brain together so that they could use the intent and the understanding of the energy being into the more physical realm of what we experience every day. You see what's going on in the veterinary world right now, and for anybody who is a healer, for anybody who has an animal, for anybody who works in the medical sciences, take note that the American Veterinary Association this week is meeting, and this is the week of January the 5th. They have come together, and they have put out in a really interesting paper that energetic resource called homeopathics, that energy medicine that predates pharmacology, the energy medicine that's over 2,000 years old, sorry, 200 years old, okay, 200 years old, doesn't work. They are saying that homeopathics is an invalid way of restoring a healing action in the body. And they're taking a vote, and they're taking a vote on Friday about what is actually going to be allowed to be used by your veterinarian to influence the wellness, to influence rebalancing the energy system, the energy body of your animal. Now, if veterinary science can discount that homeopathy is not valid and should not be used in their practice of healing, this will reflect on all levels of natural healing forms, of energy healing forms. And if it's not good enough for your animal, very soon it will not be good enough for you. So this is something that I don't normally get into, the political side of life. But there's a purpose here. You see, each side of this conversation is saying, I'm right. I'm right. I have something to defend. I have something to protect. And maybe it's the energy of money, or maybe it's the energy of ego, or maybe it's the intent of doing the best you can. But on both sides of this conversation, the participants need to stop and take a breath and look at the results of both the drug-based therapies and the energy-based therapies and realize that there is really very little difference in how the outcome of the body really is. You see, when I'm working with a horse and I have a vet or I have somebody that's working under the jurisdiction of the vet and he assigns a drug or he says, hey, take and cut the feet, the horse's hooves, a certain shape and stick a shoe on a certain angle. They fail to recognize that there is a law out there written by Sir Isaac Newton, and I believe it's called the first law of motion. And most of us are aware of that law. It says for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So when you physically change either the mechanical motion of the body or the biochemistry of the body, you are going to create an adaptive compensational change somewhere else in that animal's body. And so when you introduce something that's artificial, you're going to have to continuously add artificial agents so that you can rectify the imbalance that was started when you made that first change in the body. That will show up as states of disease, changes in personality, changes in how the muscles will be able to support the animal's weight, lamenesses. Sometimes the pain gets so great that the horse will say, get off my back, or, hey, don't even touch me with the brush. And the same thing will happen to your dog and your cat. Now, when you use the energy side, the vibrational energy medicine, the therapies of light, sound, magnetic field, homeopathy, essential oils, we're doing exactly the same thing, but we're using a different tool. We're using energy. We're using frequencies. We're using the charge that stimulates the little microorganisms that make up the body. We're using the energy field. But when we stimulate the energy field, and it doesn't matter what modality you use, you're still going into the energy body and you're addressing one layer of energy. And again, we go back to the physics of for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And so you may bring the energy body into a state of balance. But eventually, that balance will go away because you've only balanced one level of the I am, the who you are, the what you are, and how it transcends into being physical form. And so that energy layer discharges because, you see, we're missing the point. And the point is this. We look at a problem. We look at a conflict as having one side or the other. We treat the isolated thing, that one problem. We'll focus on one thing. Oh, I think my dog is lame in the stifle, or he has hip dysplasia. Or the cat, he fell down and he's limping, and it may be maybe that he tore a muscle, I'm not sure. And we go to the vet and they investigate it and they find out where that one problem is. And if they're a straight line thinker, they're going to try to either use a drug or an operation or maybe a therapy like physiotherapy to help the animal's body heal that one point. But what they fail to recognize is that one point is only a reaction to an imbalance. That is a spin, a spiral that travels through the whole length of the body. And so by fixing that one problem, you haven't fixed the primary point of the problem. And if they're an abstract thinking vet, they're going to use energy. And they're going to bring that body back into balance using energy. And they're going to do, let's say homeopathics. And maybe they're a classical homeopath and they'll use one remedy. Maybe it's Arnica Montana or Ruta Graf. Who knows? But they're going to address one layer. Or if they're a non-classical homeopath, they're going to mix up two or three remedies. And they'll use it. And maybe they'll be more successful by taking and adding three layers of correction in the body. What I would like to suggest is they're still treating isolated problems. And for that reason, it doesn't matter which side of the conversation of veterinary medicine, what side of the conversation you are in treating human wellness, or what side of the conversation you are in politics. We're missing the point. We're focusing on one thing. If you're looking for the answer, stay tuned. This is Patricia Cleveland at Isologic Radio, and I'll be back.
It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to everyone eventually.
Like you just ate the best type of meal you've ever experienced. Pull it in, take it into your heart, fill up your soul. And as you try to say, I love myself, surround yourself with green. Let this moment house you in a place of natural knowing. And let the common sense, not the superior thought, not the concept of I've got to be right, or my ego or my income is involved. Just fill yourself up with Step back from the commotion and the chaos and shut that little voice off, the one from the left side of your brain. And just feel, and see if this sounds true to you. If we're all created from a place of energy, if there's a place of a higher consciousness, a creative intent, and this creation has formed who we are through the waves of energy, the frequencies that vibrate us, vibrate everything in this physical realm, if it's in our religious beliefs, if it's in our day-to-day experience, if it's just the knowing of who you are, and then you open the door and you walk out and you go to work and there's all this physical stuff, all this left brain commotion, you just kind of wonder, is this a reality or is this a dream? And if it's a dream, then we can change it. And if it's a reality, we can use our intent. Our intent as energy beings to pull together some right brain concepts and to bring them through the use of the emotion that's radiated through your heart to manifest a positive form of balance of not right or wrong, or left or right, but just natural flow of energy and information exchange. Here's something to consider. Use your left brain. Look at the body. If you went to the doctor's office and you looked at the skeleton, and they have it set up so perfect. Have you ever asked yourself, why are we looking at pictures of the symmetrical, balanced body? And yet when we go home, we look at ourselves, and we're far from perfect. We're far from balanced. And it's those imbalances in our body that starts the physical cascade of pain. And that imbalance, that symmetry, that picture we see in the doctor's office, is the ideal pattern of the physical form. And yet nobody on this planet, no tree, no animal, no person, regardless of how rich, how poor, how smart, how organic they are, has achieved and maintained a symmetrical form. And yet, from the higher self, from the energy of creation, from that pool of intent, that was the place that said to our cell structure, to our DNA memory, that, hey, this is what you're supposed to be. And then I look at these arguments between the holistic side of veterinary medicine and the medical side of veterinary medicine, and I think they're missing the whole point, because they're still addressing one problem, and they haven't turned around and they haven't looked at the skeleton on the wall and said, hey, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be making that body straight. Because in my experience as an energetic healer, is when I hold the intent of bringing the body into a symmetrical form. And whether I'm 100% accurate and can trigger that response in a body, I can at least make an improvement. And when I make the improvement through opening up the cellular memory to the information that says when our energy comes into the physical form, we're supposed to be symmetrical. When I can touch that point in an animal, when I can use that intent in natural flow and rhythms in life, balance becomes possible. And when that balance becomes possible, it's not fixing this little problem or that little problem. What it does is it changes the scale from where you are and what you are seeing. Instead of fixing the little problems of disease and biochemical imbalance and physical lameness and emotional disruptions, maybe we should be using our right brains and stepping back. A lot of people talk about dimensional layers. And in physical science, they don't understand dimensional layers, because, you see, they changed science. They changed science around, I think the 1840s, when the philosopher Descartes took and separated the body in the physical form away from the science that was based on religious background, which said the spirit, the body, nature, and animals were energetically driven, and that the spirit and the consciousness played a role in the physical form. And that's where we have our science now, is just based in the physical form and the biochemical reactions. And so consciousness is not present. Spirit is not present. Energy, well, it's starting to become considered. But when we move away from who we are in the third dimension, this physical place, and whether you can step back, and sometimes I pretend where we are in this space is like looking at that alley in your hand. It's a sphere. It has volume, content, and motion. It is trapped energy in a sphere. And when you pull back, let's say to the fourth dimension, you can start to use your intent to change how you see things.
For me, I don't see a body that's sick. I don't see a lame horse. For me, when I'm doing my work, I look at the body as one great big thing. It is a cell. It's a sack of water. It holds energy, holds information. And all that sack of water wants to be is in balance. It wants to be in a balanced form. And so when you add the structure of a body, the frame, we want to go back to balance. And if I just fixed the knee or straightened out a shoulder, I wouldn't be adjusting or creating balance in how the energy system flows through that sack of water, that framework that holds the sack of water. And so by changing, not fixing the little thing, but moving my intent to seeing the animal in its most perfected, balanced, energetic state on all levels, then I am able to start to move into the small levels of energy, the cells, the place that holds the key to how all those little pieces of who we are organized to create a shape. And when you can stimulate those points, all the little things that are talked about in the veterinary medicine, in politics, in banking, all those little things mean nothing because they aren't working as a whole unit. They're taking apart the unit and saying, oh, well, we'll just do this or we'll do that. But they're not looking at the whole thing. They're not looking at the alley in the palm of their hand and saying, I want this shape to be balanced. I would like it to be whole. I would like to take on the perfection of who it is. And if you fit yourself into the fifth dimension or in the sixth dimension, the perfection of shape becomes very easy. Everything is in balance. Everything flows. And you see, for every dimension outside of the body, there is the same dimension that's found within the body. Now, if you're a left brain thinker and then straight line, this is going to shake your world just a little bit. But if you actually looked at a pile of sand and said, for every grain of sand, that equals a piece of the body. And that pile of sand works together and creates a form. It shapes. It vibrates with energy. It sparkles the light of the sun. It lets the water from the rain flow through it. And when those energy systems, natural systems, go through those particles of sand, they create the sand in the form of the wave of water, the intensity of the water, the intensity of the wind that drove the water, or it may bake the water out of the sand, and that pile may melt as the radiation from the sun changes the frequency of energy flowing through that pile. Well, our body is no different. What we have to do, though, is use the gift of the human mind, the intent, the desire of who we are. Oh, that's a lot to think about. But surround yourself with green. Say, you remember my name? It's Patricia Cleveland at Eastologic Radio. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to everyone eventually.
Back. I'm here. Is it a dream or is it real? It doesn't matter. The thing is that your consciousness is right here at this point and right now. You're in control of manifesting your reality. And you see, if people could connect their conscious thought, the right brain, the thing that knows the energetic side of the human being, if we could connect as a common consciousness and say, hey, instead of seeing each problem as a little thing, why don't we stop looking at the problem and move our sight, our scale, our way of perceiving beyond this physical realm? You see, in the physical realm, you can only make and view the things that you see in front of you. And science has made it smaller and smaller and smaller. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're talking about neuroscience, if you're talking about atoms going all the way down to Higgs bosons, the smallest particles ever found. It doesn't matter because it's a holographic unit if you're working with machines. And it's a fractal unit if you're working in natural energetic systems. It's all the same. And it's driven by waves of energy of different levels and frequency. Have you looked at history? A lot of people don't like looking at history because there's things in history we don't want to acknowledge. We don't want to see the mistakes that we have made in the past. But from an energetic point of view, it gets rather interesting. You see, I've been trying to research to finish writing this book that's been sitting on my shoulders for a year. And one of the things that I realized is that the flow of awakening, or almost awakening, the reality that energy, spirit, consciousness, and intent should merge into the physical form and should be the superior over the physical form. This pattern keeps repeating about every 100 to 150 years. Doing research, I found this book, and it's up, actually, it's in the archives at the University of Pennsylvania. And so that's Penn State University. And, you know, you think about life and you go, serendipitous moments. Two of the most influential holistic vets that I have ever met in my life both graduated from Penn State University. And they both graduated out of the same year from that university. One of those vets moved to Canada and he worked with animals and he used little lenses of different colored glass that he had imprinted with the signature of different viruses, different parasites, different states of disease. And Guelph University all laughed at this man. His practice was with racehorses in the province of Ontario. His name was Dr. Claire Holmes. He passed away about 5 years ago. And this gentleman would take a lens of colored glass holding the energy signature of a disease or a parasite. And instead of, you know, testing blood on it, he would take this little piece of glass and he would turn it around the top, the pointed top of the ear on the horse. And people who don't understand energy don't understand that by introducing that vibrational field of, say, a parasite, that the like energy of the parasite in the body would trigger a reaction in the horse, how he would flick his ear or tip his head or maybe move away. And that's how this vet was able to diagnose disease and create an energetic program to help balance the body. And he didn't address just acupuncture lines. He didn't address light frequencies or magnetic fields. He tried to address as many layers of the physical body using energy that he understood to do. And it helped. It helped the horses. But what he wasn't able to do, because he was still locked in that paradigm of only working with that physical form, what he wasn't able to do was to reach in and actually change the cellular memory of the body. But I witnessed this, and it sparked my imagination. And then the other vet I met from the same university lives in Florida, totally opposite end of the continent. So here I am in Florida, and I meet this holistic vet. And again, he does the same type of thing. He uses a divining rod. He uses this to read the physical blocks in the body circuit. So he knows where to apply his energy, where to apply what remedy, what trigger mechanism to stimulate the energy circulation of the body. And again, he used diet, he used all kinds of things to help influence the physical form. But because both these gentlemen came from a school of thought, from an organization, and from a system of licensure, they didn't have the lateral freedom of expanding their thought to say, hey, instead of treating each cell, each level in the physical form, why don't we change the concept of seeing the body as a cell in a larger body of reality, an existence beyond something that we can't really define right now? Because most people are thinking in the third dimension. If we could expand, use our imaginations. Oh my gosh, there's a really great word. It starts with I. I find a lot of great words start with I. And a lot of words that are keyed with dynamic change start with I. Imagination. Imagination, I think, is one of the most powerful tools that we have. Because I can stand and see something broken, something in pain. And being a vertical animal, I have the ability to take my imagination and expand my understanding of how that reality, the reality that my left brain is telling me exists, I have the ability to use the energy waves of my thought, of my action, and all the energy frequencies that are coming in around me, all the particles of energy, information. And I can use my imagination and say, I picture this animal, and he is not living in pain. I picture this animal becoming straight. I have to go into my heart. My heart as a whole, not just my chakra. I plug my heart chakra into my hara line, that power cord that runs from our head to our tail. I plug my heart in there. I plug my physical heart in there. And I run the energy of love. And at that point, I add the picture that my imagination has created. And if my love, if my emotional spark is strong enough, it will send out an impulse, an emotional wave. And when that emotional wave intersects the cellular structure of everything around me, the natural flow, the rhythm, the shape of life, it has the potential to change. There is a trick, though. If the intent of the people that surround me at that moment is programmed to only believe in the physical form, and that in the physical form, the only thing that can cause the physical form to change is a physical action, a physical agent, then my spark of imagination and heartfelt intent will hit the animal, and that animal will feel me, will feel that wave of manifestation closer to a symmetrical form, closer to an efficient energy body. And it will bounce. It'll bounce back. It will not stay as a permanent fixture. Because, you see, I have to help the people or change the environment that that animal lives in. It would be very much like being a psychologist, a child psychologist, and working with the honesty of an innocent child and say, I feel and understand the drama, the dilemma, the pain that you live in. And I am here. I will help you. I will ground you. I will help you release that imprint of fear, the thing that denies you the freedom to be who you are. And after that healing of the mind and the soul happens, the psychologist has to open the door and place that child back in the hands of the parents that may not understand what they're doing. And again, that child goes out and is exposed to the same pain and the same trauma. So what I'm suggesting here is that as a group, as a consciousness of right brain thinkers, of feelers, of creators, of people of imagination, we have an opportunity here to expand our intent and to come together and create a world of right brain thought, to acknowledge who we are, to be whole, to use the assets that come from the higher dimension, and to have the permission to bring it down to the third dimension and alter the physical state. And that's a big challenge. I want you to just hold that for a moment. I'm going to take a break, and I'll be right back. This is Esologic Radio and Patricia Cleveland.
It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to everyone eventually.
I'm back. You know, we're a pretty amazing species living at an amazing time. We have the ability not only to experience our biology, but actually observe it, to nurture it, maybe to change it. You see, there are dynamics, there are levels of people that don't understand. And that's okay. I'm not here to change, to teach them how to be different. The only thing I'm here for is to say, here's a new way of thinking for you. And maybe if you would let go for a moment, let go of the drug that doesn't have any energy in it. Stop telling us to eat modified food, genetically modified food. Stop locking us into negatives, teaching our left brain to constantly hold us in judgment. And free yourself just for a day. Just walk out in nature. And whatever your heart tells you to do, follow it. You might have the most amazing day of your life. At that moment, you might understand that by bringing together the linear thought of the past knowledge and the present, and what could be the future, we have the ability to bring wholeness, oneness, positive, comfortable life. You see, the animals cry every day in a way that most people don't hear. They have a language of pain, and that pain is directly related to the level of human interaction with their bodies. And we don't hear that, and we don't see it. And we might not ever know the truth of the language, of the comment that that animal is making when you take them out to a vet or to a healer. I know that animals will surrender because they trust the human imagination. They trust our intent. And for generations, they've been programmed to be domesticated to yield to man. And so they will surrender, and they will become a guinea pig. They will become something that can't run natural energy because we've put a drug in the body that's disrupted the harmonic balance. So if we could step back just a little bit and say that retail, oh, I have to make this much money an hour to survive. Maybe if we shifted that a little bit and said that if I was more effective by addressing the whole body, using all the tools that nature gives us, and you don't even have to be an energetic person to do this, you just have to hold the picture that the scale of how you are treating yourself or the animal needs to expand, and that that animal and you connect, and that you interact. You have an energetic exchange. You have an information exchange. You may flash a smile, and the animal may flash a smile back. But you're interacting in a larger organism. And so maybe by taking that perspective and not fixing just the little broken piece on the animal, or the wounded emotional part of who you are, you look at the larger part, you look at the larger imbalance around you. And if you would balance your body as a whole, or the animal's body as a whole, by going backwards, this gets complicated, but going backwards and through yourself, or through the animal, and understand the trauma that was imprinted on the cellular memory at the point of birth. If you can go further back in your meditation, or your thought, and look at why you came to the physical form, and what was between the point of creative consciousness, and how you came at that spark of conception. What was between you and that point? And in that transition, you will find another place that will twist and start the energy of who you are to create a spin, a spiral, as it comes down the universal umbilical cord and to become physical, two-cell form in a mother's womb. That's where we need to start our healing. And that's where the unity and the balance, the stillness, the correction, and the symmetry can be achieved. I'm one person, and I try to talk to as many people who are open to regression. Some people say it's soul retrieval. I don't know if it is, because I'm taught touching the imprint of every cell, every organism living in that body, and asking it to go backwards to redefine its most efficient state. And when I'm successful, like at the farm here, because I've created an environment where it's still, there is no stress, there is no attention. The land is in harmony with the animals and the organisms that live within it, grow upon it, and feed on it. In this environment, I have a success rate that's extremely high. And that success rate challenges the university that's 2 hours up the road. When a horse comes in and he can't walk, and the university says, oh, in our best judgment, using our physical science, this horse has no future. And really, he should be put down. And the owner says, I can't accept that. I can't accept that. I don't want to hear those words. And they block those words out. And they find me. And the horse comes up our driveway. And we clear the non-conductive material that's locked in the body of the animal. We detoxify them. And we start changing the energy the feeling of that animal soul, and we give them permission to make their own connection to their universal creative point. Now that sounds very weird, but when I am able to introduce that concept and then go back and re-trigger the birth trauma, the impression, the compression points in the muscles, and I put a wave of intent to open the door to release the pain of birth, it's amazing. All the injuries, all the pain in that body will resolve. It will go away. It might take, 72 hours. It might take a month. It might take up to 3 months. But if that animal is maintained in a whole environment of balanced energy, the final result contradicts what the vet at the university will say. And the most amazing thing to me is they're supposed to be a school of higher learning. They are there with the intent to do better. And when I take my data, my observations, and the injured horse back to the university, they close their doors and they close their minds. And that right there is the biggest mistake science will ever make, is to assume that it is the only thing that is right, and it is the only thing that has the power to create and maintain life. So if you work with people who have closed minds, bless them with love. Give them permission to maybe someday have their own experience. But don't buy into the drama of who is right or who is wrong, because in their level of physical being, in the third dimension, in the physical form, that's their lesson. That's who they are. And if you know better, then expand your thought and maybe consider treating the situation as a whole. And that person is out of balance with his environment. And maybe you need to step back and honor yourself and pull together a whole system around who you are that will create either comfort and allow that person to have an experience of his own truth. Or if he's not there yet, if he has too many imbalances, he can't hold the energy signature that you offer, you represent, then be at peace and let him go. Because that's where that level of life, that learning experience is. But know that if you expand your thought and you allow the other person the freedom without judgment to have a moment to himself, he has the opportunity to change who he is and add to the world of the right brain thinker the common consciousness of who we are. If you like what you've heard, you want to get in touch with me, my name is Patricia Cleveland. You can reach me at esologicradio@gmail.com. And I hope that you continue on your way. Love life. Expand your thought. Don't run fear. And I'll be here next week. Take care now. Bye.